So go to the next slide. So way down on the King Island, that's where there lives that willow man who sought to know the story of the willow rose. So this tale's about a dad and kids and DNA barcoding kits trying to know the midges that make those roses grow. Well, in the old world and the new, there have been some names, at least a few, sometimes with vague descriptions and in great need of revision. But in Europe, through morphometry, it seems there's a plurality of sesamoids in this tree. We're not done with those sesid flies. So my many sesamoids seems they're galling every salix growing on the Kenai. Them dipterists frustrated at those golf flies, saying we're not close to done with those flies. We're not close to done with these flies. In this great land we've got a lot of Bevis, Barclay, and Commutata, each one with its acids making gold. Sesamoids eating salix to start. We need to find them all. But how can these small flies be known? They're millimeters long, full grown, with few characters to go on. It's been quite a conundrum, cause there's morphology that we can use. The damage and willows that they choose, breeding, and then there's molecules to know the sesid flies. So my, how many sesamoids seems they're calling every salix growing on the Kenai. Them dipterists frustrated at these golf flies, saying we're not close to done with these flies. We're not close to done with these flies. We tried to collect all kinds of willow rose gulls we could find. All the colonies that we could round up. We pulled out larvae from their homes on the table of our dining room. Cryovials to be ground up. Ship them off, used homeschool funds to read cytochrome oxidase 1. Waited to receive the reads. Say C's, G's, and D's. When they came after about 30 days, used Clustal Omega and Mr. Bates to scrutinize and fancy ways the tree of these sesid flies. So my, how many sesamoids seems they're calling every salix growing on the Kenai. Them tourists frustrated at these gold flies, saying we're not close to done with these flies. We're not close to done with these flies. Clades based on cytochrome oxidase. The outgroup is another rhabdophage. The first group, 889342, on Salix pulchra and fusescens too. It includes the old world rosaria. The next group seemed polyphagous on a few more willows than we had guessed. But we did corroborate the findings that Dominique made. We still must relate our OTUs
Was this your first use of the life kit, the scanner kits?
Or? No, we had just tried them out on a handful of different orders. I tried a mite and Columbia with our very first set, but then we got about 130 of these kits.
Right.
Yeah, so a few hundred vials. So we've been trying them out on different things, and including more than just the rose gall makers, but other gall makers and their parasitoids. We've actually got a pretty good community started, but we just focused on the rose gall makers here. But they've been using them on worms and snails and all kinds of things too. Even a hydra. It's the first record for Alaska. They got this hydra. That was fun.
One of the differences between the DNA barcoding with these kits and the regular work that we've been doing is you can do one specimen at a time, basically, mail in a tube.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, whereas what we've been doing previously is you have to prepare a plate of 95 tissues, and it's very expensive to do that entire plate.
Yeah, it works out being about $8 a sample this way. It's actually cheaper than the plates.
Wow. So if you did 95 this way, it would be cheaper?
Yep.
But even with mailing, I guess if you mailed them all at once.
So I should give the biggest problem I've had with them. So you get failure rates, you know, it's always had failure rates with the plates too. So, but the biggest problem has been lab mix-ups. I've had stuff, I've gotten sequences that are just completely, you know, something that's not from Alaska. Mm. I've had that happen. And I've also had to a mind switched. So that's the scariest thing here, you know, trying to, if I had things switched around, like the one, I only
have
one.
As well, for a couple.
With the life scanner ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've talked to them about it, and
And Liz, too, she had a few of them.
See, that's...
Well, that's great that you guys are using that. Because yeah. I was just going to point out, now that we're building this DNA barcode library for Alaska, I mean, I think this is a great way if you've got a couple...
And it's my favorite way to use it is just for those things that... I've had some things for years I've tried to rear out, and just never had success, and I just have larvae, yeah. And got some names on them with these, and that's...
Nice.
That you can figure out the life histories of things.
Yeah.
So are they a newer company? Is that why you think they're making mistakes like switch-ups?
I don't know why.
It's the same group in Guelph that does the regular DNA barcoding, but it's a subset of them that's more outreach associated.
Yep, it's a consumer.
Yeah, educational product. Associated. But it's, yeah. It's
but yeah, we got
Is it like the 600 base pair?
640. It varies. They actually whenever you submit your specimens, you tell them what you think it is, and they'll also look, you take a picture of it too, and they have a set of different primer sets that they'll use, so it's mostly it's around 640 base pair, but if it's a fly, they'll pick one set of primers, if it's a wasp, they'll pick another, so they're not all exactly, you know,
sure.
640, but there are.
Okay. I have some of the, like, 100 to 200 base pair chunks, and they seem somewhat informative, but not... Perhaps not as phylogenetically informative as the foreign ones, in my experience. Will you post the lyrics and tabs?
Oh, sure.
On the website.
Okay.
Yeah, and we have hopefully a decent video, and we're going to have audio. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get an Alaska.